Many people may have celebrated Christmas without knowing the real meaning of Christmas itself. We are lucky enough to hear the birth of Jesus mentioned in carols and then ignored or forgotten. Or it is just part of our culture celebration. The carols have meaningless to our young generation. Santa and elves are gradually replacing Jesus. Did it happen in Christian's household? What's Jesus got to do with Christmas anyway? All we could think of was the presents, the people, the food. We had Christmas, or maybe the traveling we had, the loneliness, the grieving, the missing loved ones, or the condition of our health, the argument, the conflict in the relationship. How did Christmas 2021 feel to you? Was it you expected? All the expenses, the preparation, the excitement, everything slowly going back to normal. But what kind of your normal life? No more excitement. No more joy. No more smiling faces. Everybody is tired and exhausted. I am tired and exhausted as well. The enjoyment season is over. It is all just celebration. Now it is an evaluation time. Did I bring joy, peace, love to people around me? Did I ring or talk to my lost long family or friends? Or was I grumpy, irritated, hurt others with my words and acts? Or did I decide to set free of my pride, my fear, my anxiety, my depression, my struggle, my sin? The reason I chose the significance of the good news because it started on Christmas Day. I have three questions that we need to ponder on. So the first question is, what is the meaning of good news? Why Christmas is all about good news? What is the good news is having to do with us as an individual or as a church? The third question is the necessity of preaching Christ. Do we see the opportunity we have to proclaim Jesus as a gift and privilege, or do we see it as duty and burden? I think Dolly had a hard time last night because the husband and little kid were sick, and it is easy for her, maybe, oh, I quit, I can't come, I can't cope. Husband cannot look after my child, so I just... But she endured, came over here. That's an example of priority, of put our priority in our ministry. Well, to answer the first question, what is the good news? Jesus is the good news and the only good news for all mankind. There's no other good news for the soul. Jesus did not come for marginalized, poor, oppressed, and insignificant. He came for everyone. Even someone who said, I'm perfect. Because everyone is spiritual poor, oppressed, immiserated, and in bondage, whether they have seen it or not. But how many of us really know our spiritual poverty? Do we acknowledge that we are oppressed, slaved by sin? In fact, this is the condition we are all born into. We are all born blind, dead in sin, and unwilling to turn to God for salvation. We can read it in Ephesians chapter 2, 1 to 10. So religion could not help us. New resolutions to change could not help us. Doing good work or being a good person cannot make us closer to God. So the beauty of the gospel or the good news is this: those who trust in Jesus need never again fear alienation from God. Hallelujah. In Christ we are secure. In Christ we are loved. In Christ we are whole. In Christ we are chosen. In Christ we are pure. The highest of salvation are for those who know the depths of repentance. We can learn from our Bible readings today, from Psalm 51, David, and also 2 Corinthians. David, the mastermind of killing Uriah and took Uriah's wife to be his wife. Paul participated in Stephen's death, the persecution of the followers of Christ. We can sometimes view ourselves only as we have been, with all our failures and shortcomings. But God sees us as new creation, not who we were, but who we are in Jesus and who we are becoming through the Holy Spirit. In repentance and living in the Spirit enable us to have Christ's mind, to make him as our King and Lord in our hearts and lives. So David became the most famous king in the Bible because of his courage, his kindness, his humility, and love the Lord with all his heart. Paul was the most famous evangelist, theologian, church founder, yet he was courageous, patient, but very outspoken. David and Paul, both men, never lost their sense of awe of the mercy and grace, undeserved gift that they had received from God. The number two questions. What is the second question? What is the good news is having to do with us as an individual or as a group, as a church? Psalm 51, 13, David said, then I will teach transgressor your ways and sinners will return to you. David understand this mercy. That was his reason to go and teach sinners come back to God. The same as Paul when he said, to live is for Christ and to die is gain. This means each of us who follow Jesus, who have personal relationship with him and acknowledge his mercy, we each has ministry. Together as a church, we have our ministry is a mercy. You and I didn't earn it. You and I don't keep it, because you and I are somehow qualified. It is mercy. Paul in 2 Corinthians 4. Before we know this, why he sent this letter to the Corinthians, we need to know the background, why he wrote it to this church. Its purpose was to correct some of the divisions that had arisen in the church at Corinthians. They faced irregulation, scandals, misunderstood, misjudged, that creeping into the church. When we as Christians are misunderstood about something, when somebody misjudges you, the first thing you have to ask yourself as Christian is there anything about this that God condemns? Have I really done anything wrong? Does my conscience bother me about any part of this? Where we have to start? We have to have a clear conscience before we can go on to the next new year. Paul sees no deviation from his normal pattern of behavior. Boldly and consistently, Paul seeks to be an open, out front person who is not trying to hide anything. If all the problems that happened in the early churches were not addressed by Paul in his letters, we will not know what's going on, and we will not learn how to solve the problems that are happening in the churches now. Time can be different, but human nature is still the same. Evidently, there were people in Paul's day preaching in churches and evangelizing who were practicing disgraceful, underhanded ways. They were relying on cunning approaches and even tampering with the word of God. They changed their message so that it is more palatable. Throughout the generation, men long to be in charge, want to control people, want to make final decision. They want to control others. And the events of their lives, they are frustrated and challenged if they cannot control. Paul said, rather we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. Paul refuses to downplay parts of the gospel that are hard for people to swallow. He did not. The problem is not the message or the good news, but the spirit. The God of this world, Satan, is at work. Work as well by hardening people's heart. The good news always defies people. Either we accept it or reject it. Narrow road or wide road, easy way or hard way. Every Christian is tempted at times to adjust the gospel and make it more palatable to the culture. Lots of people lie in the name of Jesus. So Paul, he said, I'm trying to explain to you what we preach is not ourselves. If you want to know where we fit in, he said, here it is. We are your servants for Jesus' sake. We are not your masters. We do not own you. We are not your bosses. We do not come to tell you everything to do and give you orders and be a little pope in every church we come into. No, we are your servants. We have come to help you. We have come to minister to you, to labor among you, to teach and instruct you. But we are not here to boss you. Go home and read again this 2 Corinthians 4. On the other hand, he said, he wants them to understand, you are not our master either. We do not come to do what you tell us to do. We are your servants for Christ's sake. It is Jesus who tells us to be your servant. He is our master and our Lord, whether you know it or not, whether you receive him or not. Bear in mind, this is very important. So we have the same spirit when we serve God. Each of us is church. Church coming from ecclesia, Greek language, means the called out ones. We are called out from death to life, from darkness to light, called out from impure to a holy life, from Satan's kingdom to God's kingdom. We have redeemed, paid fully and free, forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. We must remember that our stories are no less surprising than David and Paul. All of us have been forgiven of our sins and spared from the wrath of God. So all of us, all Christians who believe in Jesus Christ, who invited Jesus into our hearts and our lives, who are born and have a life change, we are called the children of God. Christian is not a religion. Christians should be a personal relationship with him.
Amen.
So bear in mind, number three, do we see the opportunity? We have to proclaim Jesus as a gift and privilege to others. That's why I'm standing here. I'm nobody. But it is a privilege and a gift that I know I have given to share with you. So what is our priority or resolution in New Year? Do we have desire to tell others about Jesus? Or at least pray fervently for the lost souls? Do we have compassion, as David says in Psalm 51:13? Give me a job teaching rebels, teaching sinners your ways so the lost can find their way home. Paul even had to die for Christ. So are we willing to be his channel, his light, his redeemed children, to bring others to faith by sharing the message of Jesus? God uses or witness of Jesus as the means of opening blind eyes and awakening dead hearts. How much time have we wasted? How many reckless attitudes and actions have we taken that displeases our Father? If we are still given time and an opportunity for next year, given long life and health, should we still be attached to the world things? Or are we taking advantage of the time to live more righteously, work more honestly, willingly to serve our King and others? Stop hiding everything under the carpets. Now, how to make us sustainable throughout the year, throughout our life as a Christian? How do we guard our hearts and minds? I think this is Philippians is... Philippians book, I think Harry's favorite book. Philippians 4:8-9. To fill our minds and lives about things that are true, like the permanence of your salvation, that are honorable, that is pure. What better way to think pure thoughts than daily being in the Word of God? That is lovely. What is more lovely than Christ being in us and commendable? For we are served for good works that God has beforehand appointed for us to do. Let us shine for Jesus, because he has signed for us first. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the light that has come into our darkness. Lord, you have faithfully revealed to us. Help us to walk in that light, to glory in it, and rejoice that one has loved us and come and has given himself for us, that he might live in us to be Lord of our lives. We recommit our lives and our service. Walk with us, Lord. Guide us. Teach us. Give your wisdom so we can bring others to your life. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.